When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sanspants radio podcast. Wow.
Hi, it's devout Catholic Mark Wahlberg. It's my pleasure to tell you that Hey Fam is proudly brought to you by the good folks at the Hallow app. Got a favorite psalm or want to say a prayer for the family of the Vietnamese veteran you violently blinded? Then the Hallow app is for you. For just $77 American a month, you can get connected with fellow-minded blessed folk and practice what you preach online. Who knows? Maybe I'll see you on there. Stay prayed up.
We got some breaking news straight off the back. Just massive breaking news. So there's a new enormous, overpriced Marvel Lego set on its way.
Oh, sure. I think I saw Nokia 3210 photos of it.
There's leaked photos. It's the Avengers Tower, which makes you think immediately, like, why? You know, that movie is like so old now. It shows just how like completely devoid of like.
Yeah.
Memorable locations the last like 20 Marvel movies have been.
Yeah.
I think what have they made so far? They made a Daily Bugle set.
Sure, which are not from the film.
That's true. They made a Sanctum Sanctorum. I don't know how to say that. Doctor Strange's house.
They've made the like Statue of Liberty.
I bought that horrible helicarrier, which I then sold many years later.
Bland.
So like just
ever.
So many grey bricks.
Yeah.
Like various shades, like 50 shades of grey.
The Lego set. Baseball caps and rock t-shirts of Lego sets.
Well, it's funny you should say that because there is a massive, massive list of minifigures.
Oh, okay.
That you can get with this set.
Cool.
Should I go through some of them for you?
Oh, I'd love you to. kind of why we do this.
Quite a few variations of Tony Stark. You have like just big Tony in his regular garbs.
Oh, what shirt's that? We got to zoom in.
Say AC/DC on it. I think it's just like
rock music.
Yeah,
like when they didn't have the riots.
You have different
for Beavis and Butthead when they would do print media. So instead of saying like Metallica or a Megadeth, it would say like heavy metal.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You have different a couple of Iron Man suits. One of them looks very gold. You've got Captain America.
Oh, so it's like, okay, it's not just celebrating.
It's celebrating
the Avengers film. It's all Avengers.
All the times they went to Avengers Tower. So I guess it's this, it's Age of Ultron, and it's Endgame when they go back in time to it. So
there's Homecoming's a part of
two different Captain America variations, and that means you can recreate
the ass scene.
Exactly, America's ass. Just one Thor minifig, one Black Widow. You've got the Wasp. I don't remember the Wasp ever being in Avengers Tower.
Never was at all.
What's
the one on the right?
I'll get to it. Oh, on the right, that's the Wasp.
Oh, okay. She's got that little hair.
And then Ant-Man.
Oh, I see.
Very tiny Ant-Man. Then we have Hawkeye.
Cool.
Wanda Maximoff.
Yeah.
Weird they don't just call her Scarlet Witch by now, but
yeah,
okay, sure.
Well, I guess she's not bad.
Yeah, sure.
She hasn't awoken her inner.
We have a very like plain looking Falcon figure.
Oh, but that's at fashion.
Vision is there.
Sure.
War Machine. Pepper Potts, Wong.
I mean, he's never stepped foot in that
tower. I don't remember Wong being part of that. Yeah, it's true.
When he was in New York.
Nick Fury.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Cho.
Oh, Dr. Cho looked like Dorothy from Wizard of Oz there.
You've got Hulk.
Is that an Eternal?
Dr. Cho
the Chinese scenes for Age of Ultron.
Yeah, that's right.
They were like, we need a Chinese actor in this scene. And remember, they inexplicably go to like China for 20 minutes?
Oh, right. I thought she was already in Avengers Tower or something.
No. They go to China for 20 minutes because it was like a demand of like Disney and they have to get like Vision to do stuff there. I think that's where they make Vision. It's when, you know what it is? I hate that I remember this. It's when like Ultron's like, I need some like boss ass Vibranian. Remember that movie is so messy. Remember they go to like South Africa, get Vibranium from Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
And then they, like the bad guys, take the Vibranium to China to then like do a 3D printing of a human body and the Avengers like stop it midway and it becomes Vision. Because I think Ultron was like, I'm going to upgrade my body to be this guy. Yeah, I think, and it's so convoluted, but I think they were like, yeah, you need to go to China just because like, we're dipping.
And then they brought her back to Avengers Tower. I think, I'm sure she's in some
of
the scenes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
She's like, Yeah.
And then we have Eric Selvig.
Sure, who's never stepped foot in Avengers Tower.
But he was in Age of Ultron taking a bath with Thor.
That's right.
Remember?
In like...
Then we have this minifigure, Tony Stark Field Agent.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Shield Agent, sorry. Shield Agent. I don't, was it... Did he pose as a Shield Agent?
You know what it is?
Point?
It's in Endgame when they're escorting Loki downstairs and stuff and they're getting the Tesseract back in place or something.
Okay.
Well, he's got like Shield gear on.
We've got a bunch of Shield Agents. We've got Alexander Pierce from...
Robert Redford.
Yeah, sure. Of course, from Captain America, Winter Soldier. We have a couple of Chitauri soldiers.
Cool.
We have Loki.
Uh-oh. Hulk.
And then who else we got here? We've got... I think that's Ultron. Then we have the weird yellow
friend.
Arm. And did you see who's at the top right corner?
No.
So there's one more minifigure. Who do you reckon it could be?
Is it Happy Hogan?
No.
Is it War Machine? Oh, no. Can I have a hint?
It's the best character in the MCU.
Oh, Agent Ross?
No.
I don't know who.
It's Kevin Feige.
You're kidding me.
They've made a Kevin Feige minifigure.
But we have to get this now.
This is going to be like $700, $800, maybe even
$1,000. I think $1,000, yeah. Star Wars Venator set that came out like last month is $1,000. Kevin Feige is fine. So he's got himself in comics.
Yep.
Remember he put himself in there?
Yep,
in
of like, course, where he was like...
I don't think he's put himself...
It's him talking about the X-Men or something.
Yeah, I don't think he's put himself in a film yet.
Well, he was in She-Hulk. Remember as...
Oh, in as reference. Like a, yeah.
No, he was like a...
Oh, that's right.
That weird robot.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. That's right. It was like an acronym, Kevin.
Yeah.
He's crazy. Well, if anyone wants to buy that set and discard a Kevin Feige, send it our way.
So we have Kevin Feige's wearing, I guess, like black jeans... he's got a suit jacket over a t-shirt. It
looks like an Avengers hat this time, the A maybe?
Yeah, and the A Avengers over his cap.
Now they should include a Kevin Feige variant like in every single Lego set going forward based on the red carpet.
Yeah, of course.
Don't
I love
think?
That.
Like the
yeah.
Marvel set should have a Kevin Feige. Oh, you know, like when you buy action figures and they're like, especially the Marvel ones, they're like, oh, you get an arm from a like Hulk's left arm yeah. And then you buy like
no,
Captain
it's
Marvel.
Never Hulk though. It's always like the most random character.
Yeah,
ever.
It's
yeah.
like the fourth Eternal, the fourth last Eternal.
Who is like the who is the big Eternal? Gilgamesh.
Gilgamesh.
You get Gilgamesh's
yeah, yeah.
dick.
But they should do
set.
That with like you get you know the head in one, a poly bag with his head, a poly bag with the yeah. shoes, poly bag feet, poly bag with the and then hats for everything. Yeah. That'd be so sick. Like or Mr. Potato Head. Going forward, it's Mr. Feige Head.
A while ago, they did a set called Everyone is Awesome, and it was like a, I guess, like a kind of pride set where you got rainbow,
yeah,
like
yeah,
a minifig for every color of the rainbow. Yeah. But I reckon everything is Kevin.
Yeah, and
everyone
it's just
is
every
Kevin.
Movie.
And it's just him with like.
Quantumania hat.
Yeah.
Wakanda WandaVision hat. WandaVision yeah. hat. Yeah. Oh, man. It's so
the
exciting.
Possibilities are endless.
One head, but many hats. Metaphor.
I know that the.
Big week for Marvel, actually. The huge, was it a Hollywood Reporter?
Dude, that
piece
article
just about
is...
how they haven't really figured out how to make TV shows yet.
It's, I mean, we knew that after
knew
having
that just
watched
by watching
those
yeah.
TV shows, and like I guess we can talk about the in greater depth that second Loki episode that we saw last week.
Yes.
Which I thought was a fucking mess.
Yeah, it was again just indecipherable jargon.
And like the first episode. I was like, oh, maybe I'm on board for this series. You know, like, yeah, like there was more that I liked than I didn't like. And then the second was like, no, they flipped it.
Yep, it's the same thing every episode.
Reverse it.
Scratch it, reverse it.
His voice in that new Willy Wonka trailer.
Insane.
Yeah. My name is Willy Wonka.
He doesn't suit his face. You know what I mean?
It's bizarre, yeah.
Yeah, but then you like, because he kind of has this air of being a, you know, like a moody actor. Not a moody person, but his actors were quite dark and brooding. But then, like, we are reminded that he had, like, a very goofy past before he became, like,
well, I thought that he was one of the, you know, a few pretty good things about that Don't Look Up movie.
Sure, so I haven't seen that.
His character in that was pretty fun. And I feel like...
reversed it.
Exactly, but I think it was almost embracing the, like, you know, the kid that used to review Xbox controllers
yeah,
on YouTube.
Yeah.
Whereas this just feels like him trying to, like... He's like this, you know.
He's trying to Johnny Depp. It's funny.
He's the square piece trying to be shoved into a circle.
Yeah,
hole,
it's like, you dude,
know?
You look like that. Like, don't worry about it.
Insane trailer. Like, I love it. You're like, you guys are going to love Hugh Grant as the Oompa Loompa.
Yeah,
like,
your parents. This one's
he's the
parents.
He's the baby Groot of
yeah,
the
yeah,
Willy
yeah.
Wonka reboot.
He's the baby from Dinosaur. He's the baby.
Not the mama.
I was just like, this ain't it.
Yeah. It's crazy that they're pushing forward with like that coming out this year.
Yeah. Well, we should see it in IMAX if it comes out.
That's true.
We're both going tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going before you then, motherfucker.
That's right. Speaking of Timothy Chalamet, I'm 15 minutes in his half-hour GQ interview with Scorsese, just those two alone.
Wow, because they made a perfume video.
Yeah, they shot a Chanel perfume ad, I think. It's a minute long, the ad is, so this is like 30 times longer.
Are we going to be able to see that in IMAX?
I hope so. Screening I saw Flowers? After Hours last night, 35 mil print.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Amazing.
Damn
movie.
It. I wish I went. That's top sick. Two. I was literally looking for that on streaming services yesterday.
You can rent it.
I'm just going to rent it. Yeah.
Top two or one Scorsese for me, I now think.
Wow.
It's impeccable. It is so responsible for the Safdie brothers' careers.
Well, I mean, people put it hand in hand with King of Comedy, even though it's like close to like Mean Streets and Vibe, right? But like, it's like a, it's a, it's him doing dark comedy.
Similar. Like, yeah, yeah, they're like quite bleak black comedies.
So, and I love but it. Like, I loved King after Comedy I, so much.
Oh, I've watched that again this week. This week I've watched Taxi Driver, Goodfellas, King of Comedy, Wolf of Wall Street, and After Hours. I'm doing
incredible.
Like Marty Week. I watched Taxi
when
Driver.
When are you hitting Kundun up?
Straight after you leave. I watched Taxi Driver, perfect Saturday 8 a.m. movie.
Yeah.
Had something to do at like 11. And I was like, I think I watched Taxi Driver
this
morning.
Just enough time to watch Taxi
Got
Driver.
Got up, took a shower, sat down in my robe, poured myself a cup of Joe and watched Taxi Driver. it's been very good revisiting them.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm so excited for
you're
Flower
in a
Moon.
Mood. What is the actual runtime of Killers?
I think it's 3 hours 40.
Let's fucking go.
I'd make it 4 hours 40, you know?
I mean, he would. He probably did originally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He rules. Because right now, obviously, like, you know, he stands at this precipice of the man who like loves movies and hates and called Marvel movies famously a ride.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think is there's a lot of truth in
his
that.
Concerns were so valid because it's like, you know,
this art form is dying.
If people only go see these spectacles, then
other movies won't
how
get made.
Do these like, you know, moments that define cinema squeak through and become moments, which except Oppenheimer did this year.
It did.
And I feel like
Barbie,
like,
Oppenheimer.
But Flowers of the is it Killers of the Flower Moon or Flowers of the Killer Moon?
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Killers of the Flower Moon. I keep calling it Flowers. I'll call it Killers. It's tracking really well. And like, I hope this is the year where his movie makes more than the Marvel ones do.
I mean, I think it could.
Oppenheimer already did. Like, and I doubt.
What Marvel movies are there this year? Well, just Ant-Man?
They're Quantumania and the Marvels.
Yeah. And they're both probably not going to be certified fresh or not.
No.
The old critic website.
I reckon, I don't know. I reckon the Marvels will probably be reviewed better, but will do worse. At the
yeah. I think it's going to get like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Review, like, I think that'll be the
mid-tier
sentiment.
Marvel's back, everyone.
Phase 2, Age of Ultron era Marvel's back. Or end of phase 1, Thor is back.
This summer, you'll believe a bitch will like pizza.
Believe a bitch can, eat a pie. That it's crazy. That shit's crazy.
The, like, just the people, I mean, like, I hate, imagine being a fucking reviewer and being like, I'm interviewing a man who's made more movies than I have years to my
like,
life.
So why do you think Quantumania failed?
Yeah, just ask him anything about Marvel.
What's your
how
favorite
boring.
Marvel show on Disney Plus? Just like so insane. It is funny because you have to watch King of Comedy on Disney Plus.
Oh, it's on there. That's great. Yeah, great.
So it's just like you have to actually scroll
my favorite
past
Disney princess, Loki Artie Fufkin or whatever his name is.
You have to Pupkin? Rupert Pupkin.
Rupert
Pupkin. Whatever I'm mispronouncing.
Artie Fufkin. I'm pretty sure it's that.
They all call him like Rupert Pumpkin or
yeah, of course. Yeah,
Robert Pufkin and stuff. It impeccable film.
Beautiful movie.
Jerry Lewis, so good.
Yeah.
Sandra Bernhardt, amazing. Everyone's so good in that film.
Yeah.
But totally. After Hours, man. Watching that last night, because I'd never seen it before.
Right.
And I was going to watch it recently, and the cinema release came out, so I was like, I'm going to save it for that. It is like...
So it's like it's a random re-release?
Like yeah, they just...
You know, anniversary cut or something?
No, I think it was just like, there's a Scorsese film out, and...
Shit, is it screening for long, or...?
No, I think it was one night only.
Motherfucker.
35 mil, so it was perfectly scratchy.
I literally said last week I wanted to see it.
I know you did. You even told me. I messaged you and said, I'm going to go see this. And you're like, oh, cool. I'll come along.
Oh, whoops.
I think that was the night before
I guess.
Blackout drunk in Melbourne.
Yeah, it's true.
So I think that's why you forgot. Yep. You had a bit of an after hours that's night true. Yourself. But yeah, it I is literally it. Just Good Time and Uncut Gems.
Oh, so good.
It's the same movie. It's just like a guy making stressful decisions and you're like, what are you doing, dude? And you're getting stressed. And
that's awesome. Yeah. And it's in New York.
It's so good. Yeah, I think it's wholly responsible for those freaking Safdies.
That's
in
awesome.
The greatest way possible.
Well, we got a new Safdies trailer.
We did
this week.
The Curse.
So it's Safdies and Nathan Fielder teaming up with Emma Stone, and it's not a movie. It's a series, right?
Yeah, it's a series. Like it's a drama series.
Man, I'm so keen. It looks awesome.
Yeah, everyone looks awesome in a bit, especially Benny Safdie, I think, has a particular...
Well, he's like the director.
Yeah, or the cameraman.
With
the
most hair I've ever seen him with in his life.
Most hair, no sleeves.
Yep.
A little leather. He looks like he's like a roadie for Creed, or he looks like one of the musicians in Righteous Gemstones.
So Fielder and Stone play a couple who are like...
Like renovating like a reality show.
But they're also like he's... They're like a kindness influencer.
Yeah.
The kind of people that are like, you know, hey, can you buy me a Coke?
And they're like,
hey, because of your kindness, I'm going to give you $100.
$10,000 or something. Yeah. Mr. Beast Core.
I hate that shit so much. It's the worst.
Oh, man. I was at Woolworths 2 days ago and I walked past Feastables. Mr. Beast chocolates.
I don't want to give that kind of anymore.
No, but I was like, you and I need
you
to try one.
If you shoplifted it, I'd respect
you that. And I should try it on for the pod.
Yeah. Maybe we should do it in, like, if you eat. I think it's law. If you eat the food while you're in the shopping, like in the supermarket,
I've done that before.
It's fine.
I've definitely like,
you don't need to pay
gotten
for
something
it.
From the deli and just like eaten it while walking around, just in my lowest points.
If you eat a Mr. Beast Feastable, remember how he was like, hey, if you see like...
take a photo or something?
No, it was like, you know, if you ever see like the Mr. Beast Feastables range, like looking all messed up, please clean it up for me.
I did that and just dropped like 20 Malteser bags in there. I was like, eat some real fucking chocolate.
Yeah, just punch them all.
Get this malt shit.
It looks like Hershey's ass chocolate. You know?
It just looks wafer thin.
Yeah.
It's like the legal, it's like the minimum amount of stuff in it that is allowed to be technically called chocolate.
I bought B, but then ended up eating most of it. A packet of Cocoa Black, it's like cashew crunch chocolate.
Oh. What's Cocoa Black?
Cocoa Black is like a very bougie chocolate brand. They have it in David Jones, but they also have outlet stores around Sydney.
Sure.
You know, if you ever want to just like piss $15 goodbye, visit a Cocoa Black.
I'm actually...
The chocolate is very good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Tony's Chocolonely.
Love a Tony's Chocolonely.
You know what they're doing at the moment?
What are they doing?
Ben and Jerry's collab.
Ah, nice.
Put some in the freeze.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a I mean, if I can be so bold.
Yeah, I just had a huge sandwich for lunch, so you have a scoop.
What was on your sandwich, brother?
I made some like... I fried some chicken breasts earlier this week in a nice like garlic, tomatoey cream sauce just to put on things, chop up salads, chop up on that. So a bit of that, a bit of Gruyere cheese and some coleslaw.
Mm.
Dude, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
it was like, it was actually really good. Yeah. A bit of sun-dried tomato, part of the sauce. Yeah, it's like kind of like a pinky reddish sauce.
Sick.
So just then reheated that, fried that up, got it crispy. Felt like fucking the golden balance. I was in there cooking up.
Nabis Mola.
Yeah. Speaking of curly head food influencers, Dub this week took a dub for the first time.
Yeah, he came out in support of the McCrispy.
Yeah, he finally broke his silence on the war of chicken and decided he stands with McCrispy's.
I realize we're like bringing things up that normally we would spend 20 minutes talking about and then just flying past
the speed running.
We're going to come back to it. I presume, have you heard about Croctober and the Sydney chain of restaurants that are celebrating?
No. Though I have been living Croctober for a while. I'm yet to...
You're in every month for you is Croctober.
Yeah. What is this?
The official Crocs have officially collaborated with an Australian chain of restaurants, but I reckon it's one that you're not a fan of. It's Char Grill Charlie's.
I know of it. I don't know them too well. I think there's one around here.
There's famously not one around here because there is what they call the Red Rooster Char Grill Charlie's line.
Oh, of course. So I'm obviously on the Red Rooster line.
So everything on, so it's like Red Rooster is like a, like, you know, I feel like peaked in the 80s chain of
suburban
chicken restaurants, but now never fried. Like, it was always oven baked chicken.
Yeah, and now they've pivoted to fried and it's changed their game completely.
Right. Everyone likes it.
Fried chicken twice in a fortnight.
Wow.
It's really good. Have you heard about it?
I just know that people seem to enjoy it a lot more than their like shitty, sweaty
baked
chicken.
Yeah, like, it's the closest thing I can... It's like Korean fried chicken. It's really like crispy and dry.
That's sick. And they put a like, sauce over it? Or?
Yeah, they do a hot honey at the moment.
Oh.
It's insane. Okay. Me, Lloyd and Nick shared a box the other night.
I thought you were about to say me like you.
Me, Lloyd and Nick shared a box. It is unbelievable. Actual game changer.
Right.
And they do a hot one with just like a nice red hot sauce, a plain one. And another one. But
okay,
yeah,
well,
it's crazy. It's like crunchy.
Give it a shot.
Makes KFC look even more like shit.
But Char Grill Charlie's is a... So it was my first job was at a place called Chooker's Chicken.
That's a great name.
In Wooronga.
Yeah, Chooker's.
When I was 14 and I wasn't yet of legal age to work, but I still got a job there. They paid in cash. They paid $9.50 an hour, which in
was that like, the award wage back then?
No, it was so much higher. The award wage. All my mates working at McDonald's were getting less than $5 an hour.
Really?
Yeah. If you're like 14 and working at Macca's, you're fucked.
Chookers
was like, and but the thing is though, like there were like 40-year-olds there getting $9.50 cash an hour as well.
Okay.
So I was on like a 40-year-old.
Yeah, you're like the fat cat.
Yeah, yeah. I got fired for swearing at a customer.
What'd you say?
I told someone who kept asking. I warned someone who kept asking about their chips, even though the fryer had just been like, basically like if you put three baskets full of frozen fries in the fryer, the oil is going to cool down and it's going to take a while to warm back up again and fry.
It's science, bitch.
And I think we just changed the oil as well. So it was just taking a while. And I warned, I was like, hey, before you get this large chips, it might take a little bit longer than usual. She kept asking about it and she kept calling me boy.
Ooh.
You there, boy, where are my chips?
Did she have a certain accent?
She did have a certain accent.
Okay. So I too once worked in a place of retail in Sydney when I was like early 20s, and a certain accent would refer to me as boy.
Yep.
Usually a blonde haired woman who moved here in the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
Certain views.
Maybe one exact 80s year.
Maybe one in particular. Yeah. Maybe after a particular law was abolished.
And someone new became in power.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there.
But I basically said like, fuck off. You're not getting your chips. And then,
you're a long way from Joburg.
And I felt like such a hero. And then my boss said, I think you better do the same.
That's awesome.
And I fucked off.
Yeah. But one for you, zero for Joburg that day.
Yeah. The
I wonder if we have any South African listeners.
I mean, I know some South African people. I don't know if they listen.
No, I don't.
No. I'll push it.
I actively tell people not to listen when I meet people and they're like, oh, should I listen? I'm like, no, because you're getting it now. Like, it's the same thing.
You're living it. Yeah. Like, fam experience.
Yeah. We're distilling our life into an hour. For those that don't know us, listen to the pod. If you know us, don't listen to it. I think.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything like wildly different.
No.
Outside of these hours,
the Angus and Levin's Hey Fam persona
it's not a persona.
You are, I would say, a little more reactionary in like your Hey Fam persona.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
Like,
I look at my phone less while we're recording Hey Fam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I am less in real life. I've actually been more chill, slightly more chill.
Yeah, but the Char Grill Charlie's it basically went from huge downgrade in name from Chookers Chicken
Chookers
to Char Grill Chicken.
Yeah.
Char Grill Charlie's doesn't even say chicken.
Was it a family takeover? Was it one of those great stories where like brothers, like a Porto and a Gallo
brothers
and stuff?
At that time.
Yeah, at that time.
No, I don't think so. I think it was just like I just yeah.
I was thinking of brothers at that time. I met Troy Baker yesterday.
Is it you're linking that because they're gamers?
No, just because Hideo Kojima once said the Wachowskis were brothers at that time.
And I guess Troy Baker's in...
Troy Baker, not in Death Stranding, but is it his Revolver Ocelot?
Of course.
He's worked with him for years.
So here's the Char Grill Charlie's. So you got one with the logo, pair of Crocs with the logo.
Pretty like level.
But this one's sick.
Level.
That's the inside of the chip bag.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it has.
That would be sick, Matt. Like if they did a McDonald's version, it was like the cheeseburger wrapper.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what they're pretty much done. Yeah. So yeah, you can walk around in a pair of Crocs with
that's
the Char
pretty
Girl
cool
Charlie's
that they've gone hyper local.
Yeah, it's weird. I think there's, I don't know how many Char Grill Charlie's there are.
They would have done, you know, some agency has been like, oh, you're going to hit a particular like demo and irony demo if you do these Crocs. Already you've got the irony of the Crocs. And then on top of the irony of like Char Grill Charlie,
but it's a chicken and chip. It's an elevated chicken and chip shop that only gets built in like pretty well off area parts of Sydney.
Yeah, I've driven past them like near like North Shore and stuff.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's where I would have seen them.
Yeah, I used to serve the guys from Pinyao every day when I was a teenager.
Were they in Pinyao yet?
And they were not only were they in Pinyao, but they were in Pinyao t-shirts. That's how I knew they were in Pinyao.
Were they in Elton John's phone book yet?
No.
Remember that great story where he went to Red Eye Records and bought 50 copies of the Pinyao album? We're reading about
Elton
that.
Elton John did?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
He just bought, he's like, give this to everyone I know this year. He just came and like bought them out of Pinyao's debut, quite possibly their only album.
No, they've got a bunch.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
They're still around.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, we know. A friend of ours is married to one of them.
I'm trying to see where Char Grill Charlie's is.
So there's closest. there's a bunch. There's one in Woollahra.
No, dude, there's one in Annandale now. I order from there.
Oh, crazy. Okay, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was like, during COVID, I used to order from there because it was the only place nearby that did
oh, yeah,
like,
I have been to that one.
Salads.
Yeah. But like of all of the like inner west suburbs, that's probably
Annandale's
the
most affable one. Yeah. And Drummoyne. There you go. Drummoyne, that's when it starts getting a bit
These are all places I've lived at before moving
it's
out
really
west
funny.
Too.
Lane Cove, Woollahra.
Annandale, Woollahra, Wurrunga.
Neutral Bay?
No, never.
Randwick?
My sister lived in Neutral Bay for a while though.
Could you?
No.
Mossman.
Yeah.
Bondi. St. Ives. Oh no, I was talking about St. Ives with someone else this morning. I was like, St. Ives? Beecroft.
Oh, there's one in Beecroft. I didn't know that.
Mona Vale?
There's none in the Parramatta region. But like it's pretty decent. But like yeah, I'm as surprised as you are that they got a Crocs collaboration.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. I'd like I'm very Red Rooster peeled at the moment.
I would expect them to do a Havaianas collaboration before they do
a
Crocs
100%.
One, you know what I mean?
Wow, that's so on the money.
We DJ'd a Havaianas party once, like this would have been like 2007 or 8.
Was this as they started getting vending machines?
They asked us to make a mix CD for them and actually print it. And so we named it, we did this for free thongs.
That's really good.
And
put thong song on there.
We got
first.
So it's definitely on there. We got Obviously. So drunk that I used to DJ in a group called Rochambeau. And one of our members is this enormous dude called Ryan, who is so, so tall. Mm. And we got really drunk and he started getting on the microphone and like toasting over the top of our songs.
That's awesome.
And this lady.
It was like 6:30 p.m. or something.
Oh, dude, yeah, it was like, and it was at like the like opera house steps.
That's
or something
so
like that.
Great.
In this like big temporary structure they built just for this party.
That's awesome.
Because it was like 10 years of Havaianas or something like that. And
10 years in and we still thong.
This old lady kept trying to get the microphone off Ryan and he was like, no, and like pushing her away. And then we found out the next day that was Mrs. Haviana.
That's great. That's
denying her the opportunity
the mic,
to toast.
Bitch. I'm in a rap crew. They're playing Cisco's thong song for the ninth time.
Yeah,
now.
Perfect.
I think you better leave.
Yeah, they're playing a garage version.
Senorita
of
Haviana.
Song.
I presume she's like Brazilian or something.
I think so.
Haviana's are crazy. Havaianas were the Crocs of the early noughties, weren't they?
Yeah, I remember the Havaianas vending machine.
Yeah,
there was one
I remember
there's
like
the Galleries
Victoria when it popped up.
In
I was
World
like,
Square.
Well, this is the future.
Yeah, totally.
I was like, well, this is Blade Runner now.
I remember people like writing articles like, isn't this great? Now you can buy Havaianas wherever you go.
I was like are you shoeless before you're buying them? Like, what
it was point? Like, imagine if you're out and your heel breaks. Now you can buy thongs.
Now you can buy thong and definitely not be allowed into the venue that you've been asked to leave for not having shoes
for
on.
Kicking the bouncer and breaking your heel in his
For coward
pecs.
Kicking, for king kicking the bouncer and breaking your boot, your Perspex boot, and now you can not enter again.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are, it is pretty dystopian getting a thong from like it's like one of the 10 last things I'd want from a vending machine in an emergency. You know, the smart shit is like when you say like phone batteries and stuff.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, that makes sense.
Totally.
Overpriced and they're probably like dog shit Alibaba ones, but still the sentiment's good.
Let's make your life a bit easier and say, let's cut to an ad break.
Yeah, let's cut to an ad break.
And now, a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How much easier does your life feel right now?
None, because now I have to listen to where we say it.
Okay, it was around the
26 mark. Don't worry, 26. I've already put that to mind.
Oh, it sounds incredibly difficult.
It's a beautiful mind over here. did an eye exam yesterday.
What did they say? Did it turn out you're 100% that bitch?
Turns out I'm 100% that bitch. No, they're just like, keep it up. Keep on seeing kind of okay. I left my glasses in Melbourne and I called the hotel and I'm like, I'll tell you where they are. And they're like, yeah, they're not there. And I'm like, they're in a drawer. I know they were in a drawer. So someone's taken them or they're lazy.
Damn.
So I've just had to fork out whatever for the glasses. Horseshit.
That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
Fucking Melbourne, man.
I know, man. I'm never going back. I spent one too many days there.
You were there for a whole week almost, right?
I was there for like 4 nights.
Okay.
Too long.
I have next year's 5 tour. They keep adding dates.
Really?
Which is great.
What dates are they?
I upped my fee substantially, and
that's great.
Every time they add a date they have to pay the full fee.
That's awesome.
So on one hand, I'm like, no, I'd rather not spend a fifth day in a row in Perth. But on the other hand, yeah.
Yeah. But after 5 days, you could buy half of Perth maybe.
Yeah.
When is that?
Man, if they allowed it, there'd be a lot of Chargirl Charlies in Perth.
When is that? Out there.
That's in February and March next year.
February in Perth?
Yeah.
Think you're going over.
Don't do it, dude. No offense to Perth.
No, because it's WWE, like, huge event. Oh, okay. And after we did Monster Trucks last weekend, we're like, should we go to see WWE?
You and Noon hit the Monster Trucks?
That's right. We went to this thing called Monster Jam.
That's right. I'm so glad you asked.
We went to this thing called Monster Jam on Saturday. It's like a monster truck event. I don't know if it's a brand or what. Like, I think it's kind of like a known thing, but I think it only exists in like live events. But you can buy all the cars and everything from Kmart. Like, they're known. Like, kids play with Monster Jam toys.
Right, okay, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So my like autistic adult like pop culture brain was like, oh, is this like a Transformers thing or something where like the property exists and then the toys are made? Or is it like at a live event to sell toys?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's pretty funny. We're out there. I think like me, Noon, and two other guys were maybe the only like yes voters in the entire venue that day. very weird feeling.
There's a big loud cheer at 7:30.
There was a huge cheer. We were in the pit party, which meant we got to show up early and meet the cars. And
Lightning McQueen,
Herbie, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Knight Rider, all the gang.
Speed Racer is in the car.
Gang is all there. Yeah,
do you reckon the movie would have done better if Speed Racer was a car?
I think so. Yeah, it's a weird name for a person.
I think that Lego have, now that they've put Kevin Feige in a Lego set, they should go back and re-release every movie tie-in set they've done and include the director or the producer.
That's a great idea.
Imagine getting a like pre-transition Wachowskis with the Speed Racer set.
That'd be amazing. I think they should re-release the Seinfeld one with like Larry David.
That actually makes sense.
There's a photo of him on the fridge, but that's not enough. I was looking at the set this morning.
You have it.
I have it.
Something that's not that crazy.
I was looking at it and marveling at it.
Of course.
Because as you know, I'm watching a lot of Seinfeld at the moment and I'm just like, oh yeah, the green bike in the back. Like, they've done a great job.
Do you think the Eternal sets would have sold better if Chloe Zhao was in?
I think so. I think minifig form? Yeah, I think that was the reason why the movie was a critical and commercial failure.
You could make the minifig feel better and being like, it's not all your fault.
Yeah, and she could have her Oscar for Nomadland in one hand.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And then a bucket she could shit in like Frances McDormand.
Yeah, I think that's sweet. But yeah, we met the cars before.
Yep.
Just like the guy.
Because you purposely get to the show early because a big part of a monster truck show is
meeting the cars. Yeah, meeting the cars.
Shaking the hands of the cars.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. They have, speaking of Mr. Feige, they have a Marvel tie-in at the moment. So there's like a car called Spider-Man.
Right.
And a car called like Black Panther.
There's a Black Panther, right? Yeah.
Thor, which is a gold driver.
What was the background of the driver of that truck?
You'd be happy to report. I'm happy to report that they were of African American descent, as was Spider-Man.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Even though it was the Peter Parker color, I was like, that's very cool to see.
See, okay, that's on me. I would associate monster trucks with like very like white trash.
Well, I think you can do that. Still. Okay. I'm here to tell you, you can do that. It's not as forward thinking as you might think. They had a female driver for Thor, so up to speed with the canon, I guess.
Yep.
Of the MCU, and there was a couple girl drivers, but yeah, there was they also had their own characters. So there's like Megalodon, which is like a shark car, Gravedigger, which is like a very famous one apparently. And these cars have been around for like 30 plus years and they get like different drivers every few years, and the drivers are almost as famous as the car themselves. It was very fascinating to watch, but there are a lot of kids and adults getting like stuff signed. They're all head to toe in like car gear. It was very interesting. But I went and the irony ran out pretty fast. I was like, it's 32 degrees. We're in the sun. It's like 1 till 8.
Yep.
No public transport that day. Because at one point I was like, it'd be pretty funny to just like drink a few beers before going and be kind of like, you know, in the zone a bit. But then...
It's like a $15 Uber from here.
It's not, because there's no public transport.
Oh, so it was a surge.
But on top of that, the 8 complete car parks areas at Olympia Park were all booked out.
Oh, right. Wow.
So I had to drive to Lidcombe and walk.
Oh.
It was insane. To like an industrial area. Yeah. It was like, there was no good way to get there. I was like, well, I'll drive. That's fine. Like, it's going to be so hot anyway. I don't want to drink. And then got there and everything was booked out.
They don't want you to enjoy these monster drugs.
It was so hard to get to. And it was like 6 kilometers away from my house. It was so frustrating.
Yeah.
There was nothing. And if you got a bus, rail bus, it was like 1:40.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
the
what the fuck? I can get to my like parents' house on the south coast.
But you walked from Lidcombe?
Well, there was no other way to park.
God, that's hectic.
Do you know how insane it was? To like drive? But the funny thing was, the irony is those car parks are so dog shit to get out of that I probably got home faster.
Yeah, definitely. I'm like concerned because I've got to go there next Friday.
Park at Lidcombe.
It's honestly for Paul McCartney.
No, it's out at Allianz in the city.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I thought that was at Sydney Olympic Park.
No.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
Fucking news to me.
Yeah,
I should read the ticket details.
Yeah, you would have just rocked up again.
This is like all those movie premieres that I always go to the wrong cinema for.
Ralph breaks the internet when you're at George Street.
Yep. Oh, fucking great segue time. If you're we can come back to Monster Trucks at some point. There is a new short on Disney Plus.
Oh yes,
called Once Upon a Studio, which they've done to celebrate 100 years of Disney, and this basically is, you know, at the studio of Disney, Walt Disney Animation, the staff clock off for the day, and they're like, you know, so two actual people.
Is it set now?
Yep. Walk out of the studio, and then the moment they do, Toy Story style, all the pictures on the wall of all the animation comes to life.
Yeah.
And so you have Mickey, and you have Mulan, and you have Judy Hopps, and basically like hundreds of animated Disney characters congregating together to take a photo to celebrate 100 years of
are they talking?
Of them. And they're talking, yeah. It is one of those things where it's definitely well done, but I felt like a fucking loser for loving it.
Yeah, sure.
It's because it's like, it has all of the, like for me, I loved it because it's like all the Peter Pan kids are like flying up the stairwells, and it's like the craft behind it, and the way they make that shot happen, it looks so cool,
like Roger Rabbit style.
But and then you have like, you know, Awkwafina's dragon character from Raya the Last Dragon,
hell yeah,
like squirrel through the hallway as like the guy from Treasure Planet zooms past on his like hover broom or whatever the fuck he had.
Hell yeah.
It's a cool little short. Like it's, you know, again, like one of those dumb little distractions that Disney Plus excels at. But there is one moment in it that made me laugh so much, and it destroyed Archie too. We watched it as a family. How do you
sit someone down for that? You're like, guys, we're going to watch this?
Well, they always watch like a cartoon or something in between dinner and bedtime. And I was like, I got a good thing for us to watch tonight. So we put this on. So they're all like, basically like they're getting everyone together to walk out the front of the studios to take a group photo together to celebrate 100 years. And there's all these, you know, like Moana needs to find flounder water. So she talks to Merlin, who takes the Mad Hatter's hat and fills it with water, and then Flounder sits in there. And like just like little cool little things of all
teamwork.
These different...
Dreamwork.
Different... And they all...
Dreamworks.
They all look like the different animation styles.
Yeah, like the Chip and Dale film.
Well, yeah, exactly. But you have... But it looks a bit cleaner than that. Like a bit more effort has been put into this, which is hilarious because that was an actual movie. This is a short. But, you know, everyone from like the Snow White and early shorts era has like, you know, you can see the grid paper on some of them.
Sure.
And like they have like a sketchiness to them. The Frozen characters and stuff, it still looks a bit jarring seeing them walking around with the 2D characters. The 2D animation definitely looks the best out of all of it. But at one point they're walking out the door and Ralph from Wreck-It Ralph walks into the glass door like with a big thud, and then Mickey goes, oh, are you okay, Ralph? And then Ralph goes, he kind of sounds drunk. He goes, never better, Garfield. And it just destroyed me. And like, I just thought I was not expecting an actually good.
You're not going to get a Garfield reference in a Disney show.
It was a good joke. So yeah, that's on Disney Plus. And I never thought that the character of Ralph would be like, you know, seen again after how bad that his sequel was. But
he gets a hero line in this.
Yeah. He has like probably the funniest moment in this short.
Now I heard that Robin Williams makes an appearance.
Twice.
Using, old like takes. Maybe?
So Olaf is like sitting at the animator's chair drawing something. And it turns out it's Genie who pops out. But before that, there's one character that like, it's like probably the most niche character in the entire short. It's like little flying lost boy from Peter Pan, but it's not one of the lost boys from the movie. It's actually a lost boy that Robin Williams did the voice of for a like an Epcot attraction. And so before you see Genie, you see that character fly through the background. And then, yeah, Genie says like, wow, what a fall, or something like that when Olaf's on the floor in pieces. Right. Yeah.
So they're saying that Frozen created Aladdin's success.
Exactly. Yeah. Josh Gad walked so Robin Williams could run.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, man, it's a pretty fun little short. It's certainly a lot less like awful than like all the Simpsons Disney shorts.
Sure.
And I liked that it didn't try and go like, oh, we made Pixar and it's like, it's good just to see a Disney thing that's, even though it's all the eras of Disney, so you still have to be like, oh, that's right, they made Bolt dinosaurs in the background of the group photo.
Meet the Robinsons.
But like, yeah, Bolt has a moment, the kids from Meet the Robinsons are there. Home on the Range. They've given them a bit of a glow up, so they don't look as like terrifying. I didn't see Chicken Little, but I have only watched it once. I didn't freeze frame it at all. Weirdly, there's not a big moment for Chip and Dale.
Huh.
But there is a cool moment for Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Okay, that's nice.
Mickey even says, "Oh, after you," and then Oswald walks in front of him, and then like lifts his head up to like boff his hat to him. That was cool.
Respect
as an Oswald head. I was seen.
Respect on his name.
But yeah, it felt good to be like, oh yeah, Disney's capable of making shit that isn't like fucking disgusting.
Remember Epic Mickey?
Yeah. Yeah. I played the first one. It was such a cool idea. It was almost like Kingdom Hearts without all the bullshit.
Yeah.
But it was even worse to play than Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. So they were like, was the first one with Oswald or the second one was?
The second one was the first one was like, he was like kind of the
antagonist.
Yeah, right? That's right. Yeah.
And the second one was like the mastermind
behind it all. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you had like Mickey had a paintbrush that could either throw paint or throw paint thinner.
That's right.
So you could either destroy problems or like create new ones or some shit.
Cool.
But the game didn't really change at all, like besides like a few key moments.
I just love that it was called like Epic Mickey. It was like, I remember it being like a working title, and then it's one of those ones where they were just like, no, the working title actually works out really well.
I think it's DreamWorks just have an animated movie that's just called Epic, right?
That's sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of Epic and video games, big, huge week this week.
It's been a fucking wild week.
Yeah, I mean, not only do we have the AAA game of the year coming out tomorrow, the Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yep. I'm looking forward to the Switch port of Killers of the Flower.
Yeah, I think unfortunately we're going to be facing quite a few downgrades, but I mean, you know, all in the name of portability.
It's one of those horny Mahjong clocks.
Yeah, yeah, but that's
with
it.
Just all the different characters.
It's a calendar app.
Yeah, yeah.
12 of your favorite scenes of Leo sitting at that table. They are releasing Spider-Man 2 on Friday.
And Super Mario Wonder.
Mario Wonder. I mean, this is crazy. And we finally have the answer of who the voice of Mario is. Super Mario.
Yeah, it's
it's Robin Williams.
That's right from the dead.
They
Olaf got him to say some new lines.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's some guy on Twitter.
Some guy on Twitter.
That's it.
Yeah. Who refused interviews all week despite being like, you know, doing a tweet saying, I can't believe I'm the voice of Mario now.
Refuse or did Nintendo refuse interviews?
I'm sure Nintendo refused. But yeah, people are like still desperate to ask this guy questions. But it's like, what was it like being Mario? And I'm sure people are like, oh, pretty cool, I guess.
I mean, I'm still curious as to why they did it.
I think they knew that Charles Martinet was like, you know,
growing his hair out,
getting towards the end. I don't think it's because of him. I just think they're like, you know, the sooner they stop.
30 years is a good run.
Yeah. Like, you know, and I think it was time to like, you know, just get a new guy.
He's arguably had the biggest year of his career in a long time. I mean, he was in the Mario Brothers movie playing two characters.
Yeah. The beloved character of Mario's dad.
And like some guy at a restaurant or something.
That's right. Yeah.
So weird. And, you know, he was made the inaugural Mario ambassador.
Yep.
Which is an exciting job. And I can't
wait. Apparently the next one is going to be Drake.
Drake.
Drake's going to be the next Mario ambassador.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Because he just tied with Michael Jackson, I think, for most number one songs.
Yeah, that's that. And they're actually going to, the award they're giving to him is going to be the second Mario ambassador.
That's so sick. He's he's the Canadian ambassador. And Charles Martinet is a global ambassador.
Yep.
And he doesn't have to call Miyamoto Papa. He calls him Puppy.
Yeah, yeah, perfect.
Champagne Puppy. He calls it Sake Puppy. Yeah, what are you most excited for? Obviously, Wonder.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, definitely Wonder. Just because, like, it is like we're at a fever pitch in the Levin's household where, like, Archie, it's
Archie was angry at you for not getting a preview.
But like, I feel like he'd be so much angrier at me if I'd played it and he hadn't.
No, that's what I mean. He's at such a fever pitch that he's like ashamed of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite the fact you're probably going to get like a backpack full
of... Yeah, I got an email. Apparently there's going to be something edible in there. I think it's a Mario edibles.
Some gummies. Some
magic mushrooms.
Well, yeah, you know, the flower, the wonder flower.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Like assuming they both arrive at the same time, which one are you hitting first?
I think Mario Wonder.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the pick up and playness of that title makes it a bit more attractive in that regard.
Yeah, Mario Wonder is going to be one where if I'm busy on Friday night, I'll be like, I'll put in a few hours before I go and do something. But then Spider-Man will be like a taxi driver. It'll be like, all right, it's 8 a.m. Saturday morning.
Yeah, I've got 3 hours.
Put my headphones on, bliss out.
So there's a, like... It's been such a long time since I've played a game. Like, I guess I played, what was the Japanese ghost game?
Oh, Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Mm.
Tokyo Ghost.
Tokyo Ghost.
Isn't that an anime?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. What the fuck was that game played? I platinumed it. I should know what it's called.
Yeah, I've got it. Tokyo.
Ghostwire Tokyo.
We're very close.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely loved that game, but that was the last time I played like not just a game on my PS5 but like anything resembling a non-Nintendo triple A game. So yeah, it's gonna be fun just kind of turning my I guess turning my brain off and just enjoying like a very shiny open world game.
Yeah, I gravitate between the two a lot, and I'm as you walked in then I was playing a bit of Cyberpunk, and sometimes there's nothing quite like a, you know, it takes 3 years to get it right, but polished.
Totally.
Polished AAA game. You're just walking around being like, yep, I'm doing this.
Yeah, and Insomniac is so good at making that extremely polished feeling.
It's getting really good reviews too, right? Like 10s and 9s.
I've seen mostly 8s, which is like...
It's good.
Still really good, but I mean...
It's good for
a
game that's kind of like copy-paste.
That's like, yeah, I feel like 8 is coded for like, you know... Yeah, it's just the same shit.
It's not a like... It's not going to change the world. It's just like a really
But
well-made.
That's so what I'm in the mood for anyway.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know it's going to be like polished as hell, have some great shit going on in it, great gameplay.
I hope the story is a little bit better than the story we got in the Miles Morales.
What was that again? Some chick was jealous?
He's like, his old friend came back and then she ends up being the enemy and like sacrificing herself at the end.
I have a feeling it will be.
Yeah, because I really loved the story in the
first game.
Of course
this one is. It's got Venom.
Yeah, of course.
Eddie.
The first one was great. Amazing, like, origin story for Ock.
Yeah.
Like, that was awesome. That was, like, such a great thing.
Yeah, and I'm keen to see, like, how those threads continue. Mm. I like the idea of... I love that you're going to get continuations of Miles and Peter's story in this.
Yeah.
But I hope we get more meaningful connections between Miles and other characters besides his direct family and Peter.
Sure.
Like,
I think Genki's got a big part in it.
Yeah, but that's still, that may as well be his family. I want like him, like, you know, that connection between Doc Ock and Peter is.
Yeah,
so
I wonder
good.
If they'll start making way for more of Miles' like specific villains.
Yeah, like, and it's sick that we have like so many different iterations of Miles in media, but I feel like there's not. Unlike almost every other superhero, there is not like a villain that we immediately think of when we think of him.
No.
Because it always has to be a Spidey villain. That
I guess that's kind of the curse of him though, being like
the
backup Spider-Man.
I guess the Prowler.
The Prowler's the closest and
I can't even remember. Was the Prowler properly in?
I don't think so.
Is he already dead in the...
He's in jail or something.
Yeah, right.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember.
I hope he's in this.
I'm sure we'll get a recap.
Or we've just forgotten something. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for Venom.
I'm playing back to Disney again. I'm playing finally playing the that
Fantasy Island.
Yeah, what's it called? It's on Switch.
Illusion Island.
Illusion Island. Yeah. It is awesome because you know one of my favorite genres of video game is Metroidvania.
Yeah.
And it's a game like Archie will always ask me like, "What's your favorite game ever?" And I'll be like, "Hollow Knight." And go, then what? Oh, Symphony of the Night.
Is that your favorite
then
game
what?
Ever?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Wow.
That and like. Like, you know, like there's always a Zelda and a Mario in there too. But if you like, you know, explore beyond that, I feel like, if I go to top three, it'd probably be like Breath of the Wild, Hollow Knight and Mario Galaxy 2.
Sure.
But then there's like Symphony of the Night's really, really high up there. And then like countless other Metroidvanias. Mm. I'm absolutely loving Blasphemous 2 at the moment.
Sure.
Like feels like it's such a polished version of what they tried to do with the first game. Yeah, it's incredible,
like
man.
Leaps and bounds.
Yeah, and like some of the boss fights are so good.
Cool.
And it's really funny that I don't connect with Souls games
when this is essentially
so
a Souls
much
game, right?
I love like all the things that this kind of game, it's honestly it's just 2D versus 3D, I think. I am always happy to have my ass handed to me by a 2D boss fight, and then only to get up and, like, you know, I can do this all day, vibes, and eventually beat the boss. It's one,
the 3D, you're like, how the fuck dare you?
I don't know what it is. It's like, yeah, like parrying in 2D, I'm happy with, but yeah, 3D, so I'm weird. Like, I just never get the timing right.
Yeah.
And it frustrates me. But yeah, Blasphemous 2 had this amazing boss where, like, first it's this dude with a big coffin and he's like smashing it down and creating shockwaves that you've got to get. And I beat him on my first try and I was like, sick, that's awesome. I beat a boss on the first try. Then the coffin bursts open.
Brother.
And there's a little kid in there with all these spinning stars.
Phase two.
And I just beat that little kid.
Yeah.
With like a slither of health left. And I was like, fuck, that's crazy. And then both of them get up and you have to fight both of them at once, and I died instantly. And then, yeah, I got to that third,
what are you playing
phase
on
Switch. Sick. I got to that third phase like 10 times before finally beating it. Fucking such a great, satisfying boss fight. Oh, like, I don't know, an hour.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it was so fun. And I started playing it in a cab on the way home from a shitty party on Monday.
That's awesome.
And then got up the next morning and finished it. But yeah, sick game. But like, yeah, like Metroidvania games, I always tell Archie how good they are. But even like Super Metroid and Symphony of the Night, like those are the two of the most influential titles. But like, you can't really show them to a kid either.
Sure.
There have been a few games like Yoku's Island Express that I think would be a good one to show to kids. But what makes Illusion Island so special is that not only is it a Metroidvania inspired title where, like, you know, it's this massive map that you uncover much more of, and it's all connected, and you've got to get powers that allow you to jump higher or further or climb so you can see different parts of the map, but it's a game that you can play multiplayer. Up to four people can play it at once, and it has really amazing accessibility options where I've given myself two hearts, two hits and I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
Archie has three, Tilly has infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And you can change all the different character attributes. So like the jump assists, or like if I get to the top of a difficult section, I can drop a rope so Tilly can climb it instead of doing all the different jumps that I've just had to do. She's still not quite at a level where it's not unbelievably frustrating playing with her. So she played her iPad this morning while Archie and I played Illusion Island. But it's a...
She was in iPad timeout.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I would...
Who do you play as?
Okay, so you can play as Mickey, Donald, Goofy, and Minnie.
Yeah.
Who do you reckon I'm playing as?
Goofy.
No.
Donald.
Yes.
Yeah.
Archie chose Goofy before I did. Otherwise, I would be Goofy. No one's Mickey.
Wow.
He's like, it's like you'd never be Mario in Mario Kart, right?
I'm always never Mario. I'm always Mario in the platformers, though.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's when you...
Like the 2D ones.
Oh, okay. When you have the choice. Who are you going to be? Yeah, I guess I'll start with Mario, but I'm going to pretty quickly be Luigi, I think.
They're all the same. They have the same attributes.
Same as in the Mickey game. They all have the same attributes.
I think they're all available from the start.
Fuck. I do want to play... It'd be fun playing as Daisy.
Yeah, I played as Daisy for a bit in my playthrough.
Yeah. But I guess I want to hear that new Mario voice.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I want to hear what that Twitter freak can do.
Yeah, totally. He just keeps talking about how good X is, how it's the everything app, and how if you a month from now, if you're from New Zealand, you can join for the low price of $1 a month.
Yeah, that's wild, isn't it?
That's fucking crazy. I love it.
Wait, the Mario guy saying that?
No, but imagine if he was like a rep for Twitter now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. If you're from New Zealand, it's $1 a month just to access it, right?
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Who's clicking on that shit?
I don't know.
I think it's new members.
Yeah.
If you're a new member to Twitter in 2024... probably deserve to pay $1.
It's funny. It's such a weird app.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate, like, I don't value my time app for me. Like, sure. I'm like, I should be doing something else, but instead I'm just scrolling.
Looking at people with the same opinions as me.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. It's bonkers like that.
Yeah.
Well, look, let's jump over to PayFam.
Yeah. It's almost PayFam time. So in PayFam tonight, we're going to talk about all the things that we talked about for 5 seconds tonight and then scooted over. But I mean, you can't match the energy of this episode. I feel it was
rapid fire, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was.
So if we can remember the things that we started talking about in this episode, we'll return to them. But I want to return that MCU piece, and I want to talk a little bit more.
Yeah. I'm looking forward for a deep dive on that, MCU piece.
But, also want to talk about, the English cast for The Boy and the Heron.
Yeah, I just saw that drop then.
And while we're talking about English versus Japanese, I want to talk about World War II. Yeah. No, I want to talk about Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Because we got a new trailer for the Netflix adaptation of that.
So Scott Pilgrim Takes Off.
That's right. I want to talk about the Taylor Swift Eras Tour.
Have you seen it?
No.
No.
But I've got good reasons why.
Yeah.
And also, I'm revisiting a little short film that we spoke a lot about 2 years ago. It's called, well, I call it "Don't You Just Love Halloween?"
Oh, yeah,
that's what I searched to find it.
No,
again.
You told me this week you revisited Son of the Mask. Can't take my eyes off.
Can't tail my eyes off you. And I have a really great, like,
you've just made some new discoveries,
dude,
haven't you?
Things that we never found funny. Like I hadn't watched it in a long time, and like,
should we watch it quickly?
Absolutely, we should. Okay. We should begin PayFam by watching. Yeah, I can't tail my eyes off you.
I'm firing this shit up now.
So come over to PayFam. It's a bonus episode of HeyFam that we record every week, and guess what? Sometimes it's better than HeyFam itself. You can get it by going
Son of the Mask. Don't you just love Halloween?
You can get it by going to patreon.com/HeyFam.
There it is. No, it's too good to be true.
Yeah, that's what the name of it is. $5 a month is all it costs for
it's
you to
get.
It's got
the greatest freeze frame as a thumbnail.
It looks so fucked
up. Where he's
up.
Just flipped and he's like staring backwards at the crowd.
Yeah,
and he looks
so good.
He looks like he's experiencing like ego death.
So we're going to have an interactive Son of the Mask experience at the beginning of
this
pay
shot
fam.
Like 10 kilometers from where we
I
are
know,
now.
It's crazy as shit. It's awesome. I am, for my Halloween TikTok video I'm doing this year, I'm finally going to go through and chronicle all of our Son of the Mask merch.
That's so good.
Take this shit back. Don't spoil it yet.
Dude,
come
I'm
join us over.
I'm already screaming.
I have such fond memories of this era of HeyFam.
Forgot that security guard.
Dude, like legit. Like we watched this over 100 times.
This is why I didn't go crazy
COVID.
During COVID.
Yeah.
Because I had this.
This insane piece of shit kept us from going insane.
Dog, it's
COVID.
So fucking good.
And it was so fun revisiting just this weird 4.5 minute clip. Come and do the same thing with us. Patreon.com/HeyFam. Don't you just love Halloween? See you there.
Oh man, this is great.